Good morning, everybody. Morning. Welcome to our service here this morning. Our minister, Kate, is away today, so we are really pleased to welcome Margaret Jude with us this morning. Sorry, wrong way. from Histon Baptist. She has been here for a couple of years, we understand, so really pleased to have her back with us here this morning.
Well, good morning to you. Lovely to see you all again this morning. It's a lovely morning. I think I'd better just say one word first. The last time that I was here, it was when Palm Sunday fell on April Fool's Day. And I did an April Fool's of dressing the church up for Christmas and started kidding you along that it was Christmas Day. Well, just in case you think I'm doing the same thing again, no, I'm not. The story that we are going to be looking at this morning, what I noticed when I read through the whole story was how much they partied, how much they celebrated in the days of the Old Testament. Maybe we need to learn something about that. Maybe we don't celebrate enough. Maybe we don't party enough in our churches. Well, I hope this morning is going to be a real celebration, a celebration of God's love and a celebration of what God does for us and what he wants to do for us. So we're going to start by singing, Come On and Celebrate. Celebrate and sing. Now then, you might have noticed I've got a bag over here. In here. A football. I know nothing about football. I'm not into football at all. I don't do football. But I'm sure that there's some of you here who do. I need two people up here, please, who like football and who enjoy football. Can we have two people? Come on then, up we come. And one more. I need one more to keep him company. Come on then, up you come, Steve. And it's Alfie, isn't it? Yes, that's right. Right, you have the ball because I'm no good at it. Which team do you support? Liverpool. Steve.
Not good.
Team do you support?
Manchester City. You won the league this year, I have to say.
Hooray! good. Does anybody here support Cambridge United? The U's. Well done! I gather that they won at Wembley recently. They're back in the league,
yes.
Whatever that means. I don't know.
Explain it to you later.
Right. Am I doing this the right way round?
Not really.
Right, good. Okay, lovely. Right, our two footballers. How old are you, Alfie?
10.
Right. Quite some years... No. Quite some years ago, I had a nephew who was 8 years old, so a bit younger than you. He's all grown up now, but when he was 8 years old, he supported Tottenham. Oh dear. So just before his birthday, I rang his mum, who's my sister, and I said, what can I get Christopher for his birthday? She said, anything with Tottenham on it. So I went along to the sports shop in Cambridge, and they'd got rucksacks and lunch boxes and, you know, all the usual thing. Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, the posh, whoever they are. Nothing with Tottenham on it. So I spoke to the girl in the shop and she said, no, we haven't got a lot at the moment. She said, we have got a scarf. And I said, yeah, that's fine. That'll do. That'll be lovely. So she climbed up to the top shelf, which is why I didn't see it, and she brought down the scarf. Excuse me, can I just have this? And she laid it on the counter for me, and I looked at it, and I said, no, he supports Tottenham, and that says Hotspurs. Oh, dear. Hotspurs. Well, I didn't know, did I? So when Christopher opened his birthday present, his mum told him the story, and he fell over with laughing. And when he'd picked himself up, he said, well, never mind, Mum. He said, Auntie Margaret is just a woman. Oh, dear. Well, look, you two go back and you can swap scarves if you like and keep your football and your scarves and off you go. Is there anybody here who likes anything else other than football? What else is anybody interested in? Cycling, wonderful. Now, I do know a bit more about cycling because my husband's into cycling as well. Can you tell us what's happening in July in Cambridge? Tour de France coming to Cambridge, yes. Sorry? All Blacks rugby. That's rugby, isn't it? Yes, wonderful. So it's not just football, there's rugby as well. Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Great stuff. What about any of the girls? What are you interested in? Yes? Skating. What, ice skating or roller skating? Roller skating. Lovely. I had a pair of roller skates when I was your age and I was hopeless. I couldn't stand up on them. Anything else that anybody's really good at and really interested in and knows a lot about? I won't drag you up here, don't worry. Any other interests that anybody's got? Well, anyway, the point I'm trying to make is we're all different, aren't we? We've all got different skills, different interests, different things that we're good at. It would be a bit boring if we were all good at the same thing, wouldn't it? The thing is that God made us with different skills and different abilities, and each one is just as important as the other. Because God made us that way, and he gave us a whole variety of different things that we can do. Whether we're women, or whether we're men, or boys, or girls, or teenagers, or whoever we are, there are different things that we're interested in, and we all need all those different interests and those different skills. And God can use any of those gifts for his glory. Now, we're going to be looking this morning at somebody in the Old Testament, in the Bible, who was just a woman, and her name was Esther, and she didn't play football, and as far as we know, she didn't play any musical instrument, she wasn't a great singer, she didn't ride a bike, didn't have bikes in those days. She had one special gift. Anybody knows the story of Esther? Can you tell me, what was that one special gift that she had? Yes? Sorry, can't hear you. Bravery. She was very brave. That wasn't what I was thinking. Yes, lady at the back. She was assertive. Yes. Something else. Yes. She was beautiful. I tell you what, she wasn't just beautiful, she was blow your socks off, drop dead gorgeous. You know, the sort of woman who walks by and all the men go, phew. You know, she was beautiful. So we're going to hear about Esther, just a woman, and what God did with her because she was beautiful. Before we look at that, we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing, God's people aren't super brave superheroes. They're just like you and me. Right, so Esther, just a little bit of background history first. The Jews had been living in their promised land that God had given them, but unfortunately, they did the very thing that God told them not to do. They disobeyed God, they went wrong, they went their own way, and they did it so many times that in the end, God said, "That's it, you're going to lose the land." And the Babylonians came along, fought against the Jews, defeated them, and carted them off into exile, which means they took them away from their own country and their own land, and they had to live in a foreign country, and they had to be slaves. Sometime later, another group of people called the Persians came along, and they had a big fight, and they defeated the Babylonians, and they defeated many, many countries. And by the time that we're going to be talking about, the time of Esther, the Persians ruled over a vast, vast empire, over many, many countries. And they were very, very powerful. But they were a lot more tolerant of the Jews than the Babylonians had been. And they said to the Jews, you don't need to be slaves anymore. You can work for yourselves. You can have your own homes. In fact, you can go back to your own country if you want. Well, you see, the Jews were very, very sad, and they were despairing, and they had no hope, because they thought their God had abandoned them and didn't love them anymore. And they said, what's the point of going back to the promised land if God's not with us? So although some of them went back, not all of them did. Some of them stayed where they were and decided that they were quite happy where they were, and they were making a new life for themselves. One man who decided to stay where he was a man called Mordecai. What was he called? Mordecai. Bit of a difficult name, but that was his name. He was a good man, and he loved God. He was a Jew, and he loved God. Who'd like to be Mordecai? Can I have somebody up here to be Mordecai? You don't have to do much. It's all right. Just come up here and sit on the chair in a minute. Okay, lovely. Reese, thank you very much. So this is Mordecai. Now, Mordecai, as I say, he was a good man, and he loved God. Now, a little while later, he had a cousin who was called Esther. This is where Esther comes in. Esther was a lot younger than him, and unfortunately, when Esther was very, very young, both her mum and her dad died. And Mordecai was such a good man, he took Esther into his own home, and he brought her up as his own daughter. And he loved her, and he brought her up, and he taught her to be obedient. Now, this is where we need to start writing up on the board. Let's put up here, Esther. We know that Esther was beautiful. Now, you'll have to watch me, because when I'm writing up here like this, I'm inclined to spell things wrong. Is that right? Esther was beautiful. She was also obedient. She did what Mordecai told her, and he brought her up to do as she was told and to be obedient. Anyway, at that time, they lived in the capital city called Susa, where the king lived. The king had defeated lots of countries all around. He had armies all over the place. He decided to have a party. Now, this is the first of the parties we're going to hear about. He decided, now all of you here are invited to the party, and you're all, come on, having a good time. Yeah! Lots of music, lots of food, lots of lovely wine, glug, 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 glug. Yes, right. The usual thing when you have a wedding these days is you have the wedding, you have the reception, you have a disco in the evening, it goes on until late in the evening, it's a long day. This party went on for 6 months. Okay, righty. Mordecai, would you like to go and sit down over here a minute? We need somebody to be the king who's having a party. Come on, up you come. Well done, lovely. So you come over to this side, over here. This is the king's side of the palace. And here you go. This is the king's crown. There you are. Wonderful. So you can sit on your throne over here. Wonderful. Now you have to have a special ring as well. This is your signet ring, okay? Be a bit careful because it's probably a bit big for your fingers. There you go. So keep it safe. That's a very special ring. Right? Lovely. So there's the king, having his party, yes, having a wonderful time. Well, this went on, as I say, for 6 months, and everybody was getting a bit bored at this stage. They'd had, yes, absolutely, and here the king thought, what can I do now to entertain everybody? Ah, he suddenly remembered that he'd got a wife. And she was beautiful, and he thought, my wife Vashti is beautiful. I'll bring her in and show her off to all my guests. Can we have a queen, please? Who would like to be Queen Vashti? Come on then, Queen Vashti. Wonderful, lovely. Up you come. So here's your crown. You can be the queen. Oh, it's a bit big, isn't it? Okay. Can we fold it over a bit or something to make it a bit smaller? There you go. Will that stay there? Sit on the chair for a minute. Okay, lovely. Now, you're over on your side of the palace, and he's over there. He decided to send two of his men to go and fetch the queen and bring her back to his side of the palace. Now then, your husband has been having a party for 6 months, and he hasn't had anything to do with you. And suddenly, two men come along and say that you've got to come over to see the king. What do you think you're going to say? Are you going to say that you'll go? Will you say yes? Or will you say no? No. Good. Well done. Very good. I hoped you'd say that. The Bible doesn't tell us why she said no, but I can guess. But she said no. Can you sulk? Fold your arms like this. Yes. That's it. Pull your crown down. And she said, no, I'm not going to go. Well, the king is left looking silly in front of his guests. And he thought, what on earth am I going to do now? My wife has disobeyed me. What shall I do? So he called his wise men and he said, what am I going to do? And they said, well, now look, this is serious. If all the other women in all the other countries hear what Queen Vashti has done, they will all think that they can disobey their husbands. So, you need to send out a decree to all the countries and tell them wives must obey their husbands. Okay? So here you go. Write a letter and say on there, wives must obey their husbands. Ladies, did you wonder why it was in the marriage service? It goes right back to here. Wives must obey their husbands. Do you know, there's a lot of women that get hung up over that these days, and they don't want to say that in the wedding service, and they don't want to promise that they're going to obey their husbands. If you read Paul's teaching in the New Testament, in Ephesians, wives, submit to your husbands. Read the next bit. It's a much stronger word to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Cherish your wife like you cherish your own flesh. Be prepared to die for her if necessary. Now, where you've got a marriage with a husband loving his wife like that, it's easy for the wife to obey. Because she knows that he's not going to ask her to do anything that's not in her best interests. So it's a much stronger word to the husbands first. Husbands, love your wives. So let's remember that. Anyway, you've done your letter. Oh, goodness me, wonderful. From the king. Lovely. So it's in the king's name. Lovely. Now what we have to do now is have a little bit of this on the letter, like that. Stick it down there. Stick very well. There you go. Now then, this is the point of having your ring. You've got to press your ring into that sticky stuff to make a seal. That's lovely. So it's sealed with the king's signet ring. Okay? So that letter has now got to go out to all the countries. Who'd like to come and take this and take it to the back of the church? Anybody? Mordecai, you could do that, couldn't you? Just take it to the back of the church and put it on the seat over there. It's gone out to all the countries. But the wise men said also to the king, you've got to get rid of Vashti. She's disobeyed you. She's been really naughty, and you're going to have to send her away from the palace. So I'm ever so sorry, Vashti, but you've got to go. Okay? So if you leave your crown here, because you're not queen anymore. Oh, dear. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. So now the king needed a new wife. The king loved a party. He loved his lovely food and lovely glass of wine. All through the story, if you read it in the Bible, everything that happens, it says, after the king had had a glass of wine, but he also loved pretty women. So they gathered up all the pretty women in the city and they brought them to the palace in what's called a harem. And all the girls were there ready for him to choose a wife. Now, Mordecai thought, wow, here's an opportunity. We need to send Esther along to the palace with all the pretty girls, because he knew that Esther was beautiful, and he thought, what an opportunity to get one of our own people in the palace close to the king. It would be really helpful for the Jews. So he said to Esther, don't tell them you're a Jew. Don't tell them your name, Pike. But go along to the palace with the other women. Now, the Bible says that Esther was beautiful and lovely. Now, my reading of that is that she was not only lovely to look at, she was a lovely personality as well. I need an Esther now at this point. Who'd like to be Esther? You'd like to be Esther? Come on, then. We've transformed Vashti into Esther. That's wonderful. So you have to have your crown on again. No, not yet. Not yet. She's in the harem with all the other women. Sit down on your seat for a minute. Now, she came along and she found, gents, are you listening to this? There was a man in charge of all these beautiful women. Can you imagine a Miss World contest with all these divas all vying with each other, wanting to win the prize of being the queen, and there's a man in charge of them all? Well, the man soon spotted that there was something special about Esther. She was good. She was not only beautiful, she was a good girl. She did as she was told. She was obedient. She pleased this man that was in charge. So he quickly gave her all the things that she needed. Ladies, we've heard about a spiritual spa day that's coming up in July, July the 12th. What about ordinary spa days? Don't we just love it? You know, you go to the hairdressers and have your hair done and it gives you a lift. Go along and have a half-hour massage. Wonderful. Nice manicure. I love it. These girls in the harem had to go through 12 months of beauty treatments before they were even allowed to see the king. Esther didn't need it. She was so beautiful anyway, but she was so obedient that she did as she was told, and she went through all this process of all these beauty treatments. So we can see another thing here about her. She was humble. She had humility. Let's put it up here. Humility. She was humble and obedient and did as she was told, even when she didn't need all these beauty treatments. Well, of course, you can see what's going to happen here. By the time it came to Esther's turn to go and see the king took one look at her and he was absolutely head over heels in love with this beautiful, beautiful girl. And they very quickly got married and he made her his queen. Come over here and meet the king. There you go. Wonderful king. Say hello. So he made her his queen. Let's see if we can just keep this crown on again. If we push it down the back there. Lovely. Okay, so she was Queen Esther. Now, what do you think he did at that stage? He had a party. So off you go again. Another wonderful party. Lots of food, lots of drink. And they're all dear. What are we going to do? Can I just take... Do you mind if I take this slide out of your hair? There, and we'll put it there, and that'll keep it in place. Okay? Lovely. So they had a big party. Wonderful. Come back and sit over here on your throne. Wonderful. So now she was queen because she was so beautiful. God had used her, and the fact that she was so beautiful to get her into the palace where he wanted her to be. Isn't that lovely? We're going to sing now before we hear the next bit of the story. I'm special because Jesus loves me. He knew that Esther was very special and he had got something very special for her to do in the palace. He thinks you're special. Let's stand up now and sing, I'm special because Jesus loves me. Please do be seated. So you see, Esther knew deep in her heart that she was a special friend of God, that God was her special friend, and she was willing to cooperate with him. She knew somehow that he wanted her in the palace and he'd got something special for her to do. And she cooperated with him. So we'll put that down as the next thing. Cooperation. Now then, you young people, anybody here play with Xbox or PlayStation or anything like that? Yeah! It's a complete foreign language to me. When I was young, it was all cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians and all the rest of it. So tell me, when you're doing whatever you do on the Xbox and you're playing these games, do you have a good guy and a bad guy? No? Not quite. Well, I've seen my grandson playing with it and he seems to be zapping all these monsters and things. Is that what you do? No. Have I got it all wrong? With some of the games that you play on PlayStation, I think you do, don't you? You're defeating the bad guys and you're getting rid of all these things, whatever they are, that you have to zap on the screen and so on. Anyway, in any story, there has to be a bad guy. To make it interesting, you've got to have a bad guy to make a story. I need a bad guy. Can I have a bad guy? Somebody to be a bad guy. What about one of you two guys back there? No. Am I going to have to ask one of the grown-ups then to be a bad guy? Who'd like to come and be the baddie? Yes, come on. Wonderful. Well done. Thank you very much. Your name is Haman, okay? Righty. Now, you start off with nobody knowing that you're a bad guy, okay? In fact, the king thought you were wonderful. He thought that you were very special, very good. He promoted you above all the other princes and all the other officials. He made you the most important person in the palace next to the king. Wow. So you have to have a crown as well. Okay? There you go. It's not got any stars on it because you're not quite as important as the king, but you're the next to the king. Really, really important. Lots of authority. Everybody knew that Haman was very important and that he had lots of authority. And everywhere he walked, people bowed to him. Okay? So what I'd like you to do is to walk up the aisle and everybody, as he goes by, please bow to Haman, except Mordecai. Mordecai, you don't. Okay? Everybody else bows to the king. To Haman. Wonderful. Hope he's coming in the other side. Wonderful, that's it. Down the side, lovely. Right. Everybody, yes, lovely, lovely. So, and he loved it. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful when everybody bows to you like that. But did you notice Mordecai didn't? Oh, glory. And he refused, absolutely refused to bow down to Haman. Do you know why? Anybody guess why Mordecai? Yes? Pardon? He knew? Yeah. No, he didn't know that at this stage. It was because he was a Jew and because he worshipped God and he would only bow down to God. He wouldn't bow down to another human being. Well, Haman discovered that Mordecai was a Jew, and instead of just getting rid of Mordecai, he decided, I'm going to get rid of all the Jews. Didn't know that Esther was a Jew. She hadn't told them that. So he decided to trick the king. King, can we have you back up here again, please? Lovely. Sitting on your throne over here. Lovely. And he came along to see the king, and he told him that there were some people in his countries, he didn't say that they were Jews, he said there were some people in the countries who didn't follow the king's laws and they had laws of their own and they might become dangerous to the king. And he said, I think we need to get rid of them. I think we need to get rid of them, all of them. And the king said, yeah. He said, you know what's best, you got the authority, you go and do it. He said, in fact, have my ring. And he gave him the signet ring. There you go. And he said, you can write the letters to do whatever you need to do. Ha! So there you go. You can come and sit over here for a minute and you can write a letter. There you go. And the letter has just got to say, all Jews to be killed. Men, women and children. And the Bible says they were to be slayed, destroyed and annihilated. Older people here, doesn't that send a shiver down your spines? Where have we heard it? In our own time, in our own recent past history. Just the fanatical hatred of one man wanted to get rid of all the Jews. So this is where Haman actually becomes a bad guy. So we're going to take that off. Huh. Dear, oh dear. Find something in here to make you into a bad guy. There you go. Skull and crossbones. Ah. Right, now then, you want a bit of blue tack here on your letter, and you've got to seal it with the king's ring. So press the king stone into there. That's the way. Wonderful. Now this lovely somebody to come and. Esther, not Esther, that would be totally wrong. Just somebody to come and take this letter off to the countries. That's it. Gone out to all the countries. Just put it at the back of the church on one of the pews at the back. Thank you very much. Lovely. So the message went out. Mordecai, can you come back up here, please? Yes, you. You'd like to sit down for a minute. Your job is done for a minute. Mordecai was absolutely devastated. Oh, goodness me. And he clothed himself in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, goodness me, because he was so upset that all the Jews had got to be killed. He was desperate to get a message to Esther. Okay? Esther, can we come back up again? In fact, I think, Haman, you better go and sit on that chair over there. Esther, come back to your throne. Now then, Mordecai is in sackcloth and ashes. He couldn't go into the palace. He wasn't allowed to. Esther couldn't come out of the palace. So they had to have a messenger taking messages back and forth. And he sent a message to Esther and he said what Haman had done. And he said, all the Jews are going to be killed. You need to speak to the king and tell him to stop this dreadful thing that's happening. You're going to have to tell the king that you're a Jew. So Esther said, dear, oh dear. She said, the king has made a new rule. Nobody is allowed to go into the king's side of the palace unless they've been invited. And if they do go, they will be killed. Unless the king holds out his golden scepter to them. And then they would be all right. But otherwise, they would be killed. I haven't been invited to the king's side of the palace for 30 days. So to go and speak to the king, she was going to risk her life. And she was very, very afraid. So she sent this message to Mordecai to tell him about this law and about what had been said. So Mordecai sent a message back to her. Now, Mordecai is going to read our Bible reading for us. Over here, if you sit down, Esther. Here we are, it's in Esther chapter 4, starting at verse 12.
They told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to return answer to Esther. Think not that the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in the Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for these 3 days, night or day, and all my maids will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it will be against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. Opposite the king's hall, the king was sitting in his royal throne inside the palace. The palace opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing on the court, she found favour in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden sceptre in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the king's top of the sceptre, and the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to half of my kingdom."
Well done. Thank you very much. So, good. Okay, so we need one or two things here. The king needs a golden scepter. There you go. That's your golden scepter. All right. And so do we understand what's going on here? Esther wanted to be obedient and obey her husband's law, but she decided in the end that it was more important to be obedient to God, and that God needed her to go and speak to the king, and she was risking her life to go. Before she went to the king, she had 3 days of fasting. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. No party right now. 3 days of fasting. So again, being very humble. Before she disobeyed the king, she needed to make sure that this was what God wanted. Notice the difference between that and what Vashti did, where Vashti just disobeyed out of hand and didn't think about it. Esther was being humble and trying to be as obedient as she could. Okay, so Esther, you're ready to go and see the king. You have to put on your royal robes to look even more beautiful. Can we put this round you like that? Oh, doesn't she look lovely? So she went along and she stood she didn't rush into the king's presence. She stood in the doorway and waited until he saw her. And when he saw her, he held out his golden scepter to her, and she touched the top of the scepter. That's it. And that was to say that he wasn't going to kill her for coming into his presence, because she was so beautiful and he loved her so much. So he let her come in, and he said he would give her anything she wanted. Now you'd think that she would say, "Please, I want you to save my people." But she didn't. Again, she was being very humble, and before asking for anything, she gave something. She gave him what she knew he would like, a party. She invited him to dinner, and she said she wanted him and Haman as well. Come on, Haman, over you come, to come to dinner that she'd prepared. So they both came and they had the dinner, and they came back again the next day and they had a dinner together. And then Esther told the king what was happening, and she said, "This decree has gone out that all my people must be killed." She admitted that she was a Jew. Again, she could have been killed for that, because she'd deceived the king. But she admitted that she was a Jew. She told the king that all the Jews were going to be killed, and could he stop it, and could he save them? And the king was furious. Be furious, king. How do you be furious? And he said, "Who has done this dreadful thing?" Esther, you've got to tell him who's done it. Who did it? Who was the bad guy? It was him, wasn't it? It was Haman. And the king said, "I trusted you. I thought you were a good guy. And you've done this terrible thing." So the king said, "Right, are you ready, king? You've got to tell him. He's got to go. He's got to be banished out of the palace immediately. Send him off." Actually, the true story in the Bible was that he was executed on the spot, but we won't do that this morning. Okay? You can go and sit down. Thank you, Haman. Well done. What the king had also discovered, unfortunately, we haven't got time to go into all the story, but he discovered that Mordecai had done something absolutely wonderful and saved the king's life. There's something that I've forgotten back here. You've gone off with the king's ring. Back you come. The king gave the ring to Mordecai. Okay, lovely. Thank you very much. He also gave the crown to Mordecai, and he made Mordecai the most important man in the palace next to the king. Right, so now at this stage, Esther was still upset. She said, okay, we've got rid of Haman, but she came to the king. Perhaps that's a bit difficult with this one. Should we just slip that one off a minute?
You want to
keep it on, lovely. Right, okay. She came to the king on her knees. Can you get down on your knees? With tears, can you cry? And she said to the king, please, can you save my people, the Jews? Because this letter has gone out to all the countries to say that the Jews must be killed. The letter was signed with the king's seal. Can we send out some more letters to undo it? And the king said, yeah, of course you can. Of course you can, I'll do that for you. So he said, Mordecai, come on, here you come. You need to write a letter to say that all the Jews can defend themselves and that all the people must help the Jews to defend themselves. It was going to happen on the 13th of December, that the enemy of the Jews was going to come along and fight against the Jews. He said, on that day, the Jews can be ready to defend themselves and we will support them and help them. So here we are, another letter ready to go out to undo the letter that was sent out in the first place. I'm going to have to seal it with the king's ring again. That's it. On there. Seal it with the ring. Where's my messenger? Come on, up you come. There you go. You can take the letter off to the back of the church again. Off it went out to all the countries. Thank you very much. The big day came, 13th of December. There were enemies that came to fight against the Jews, but all the people by this time had heard about Mordecai and what a good man he was and how powerful he'd become, and he was the most important in the palace, and there was a new respect for all the Jews, and so all the people helped the Jews. There was a big battle, and the Jews managed to defeat all their enemies. That had been God's plan all the way along. God was working all the way through this story, and the Jews defeated their enemies. Well, what do you think happened then? Defeated all the enemies, great joy, yes? A party! It was the biggest party of all. Absolutely wonderful party. All the families came together on the 14th and the 15th of December. They came together in their families. They partied. They had lots of food, lots of nice drink, and they gave presents to each other. It was a little bit like our Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Esther and Mordecai sent out another letter. I won't get you to do it now because we've just come to the end of the story. They sent out another letter to all the Jews to say that they must celebrate with a party like this every year on the 14th and the 15th of December to remember how God had rescued all the Jews through Esther because she was so beautiful and she had got through to the king. And she had saved a whole nation of Jews just by being just a woman who was beautiful. I think we need to give a round of applause to all our actors. Thank you very much. You can keep your crown if you like, but I would like the ring back. Thank you very much. Lovely. You can keep your crown. Shall we take this one back? That's it. Keep your crowns. You can keep that as well if you like. Okay, lovely. Thank you very much. We're going to do a little summing up in just a moment, but before we do that, we're going to sing Our God is a Great Big God. He had done a wonderful thing through Esther. Let's stand up and sing Our God is a Great Big God. Just very briefly then, to tie this all together, what we've got here is Esther, who was just a woman, but she was very beautiful. And in her beauty, she was willing to cooperate with God in obedience and humility and in faith. The last one that we want to enter here, she had the faith to believe that God was with her and protecting her and working through her, and she was just a part of God's amazing plan, like we've just been singing. Now then, boys and girls, do you think, forget about this bit at the top, do you think you have to be a woman to do any of those things? Could a man be obedient and humble and... Actually, yes. Can boys and girls be obedient? No. Perhaps I ought to ask the parents, but you can be if you wanted to be, can't you? Can teenagers be obedient and humble and cooperative and faithful? Old people, whatever. What I'm trying to say is, it's not about being a woman. It's not about being just a man. Don't ever let them tell you you're just a child and that therefore you're not important to God. You are very important to God. God made every one of us, whether we're men or women, boys or girls, teenagers or old people, at every stage of our lives, God made you exactly as he wants you to be, with exactly the right gifts, the right talents, the right abilities for what he wants for you. He's got a plan for your life, a plan and a purpose that is special to you, and only you can do it. And God has made you exactly right at every stage of your life. Never ever think, oh, I'm just a woman, I'm no use to God. I'm just an old person who, like me, thinks that an Xbox is a cardboard box that you put eggs in, you know? Knowing nothing about modern technology. But God made us just as we are at every stage, and he can use us in his plan, in his purpose, at whatever stage, whoever we are. You might think that you're useless, or that you're too young, or too old, or too whatever, or I couldn't possibly do that. God knows that you can with his help, because at the end of the day, it's not even about us. It's all about God. And what he's able to do, it's about his strength, his ability, his power, and his purpose. And that great plan that he's got, that he wants us to be involved in. That is what's the most important thing. And whatever it is that he's planning and what his purpose is, he can use you within that purpose. All he's looking for is people, whoever we are, who are willing to cooperate with him in obedience and humility and faith. And when we do that, life becomes an exciting adventure to see what you and God together can do for his glory. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Go out into the world and serve the Lord your God with all your talents, all your gifts, all your abilities for his glory. Amen.